I too welcome you to our service and greet you in Jesus' name. My desire is that we would exalt him in the remainder of our service here, which we have already, I believe. As I pondered a message for this week, my thoughts paralleled some of what Ernest has already shared. As I read the name that was given to the storm that came our way, the perfect storm, I thought about the perfect storm that will truly come someday. And so I've titled my thoughts this morning, The Perfect Storm. This label was given to this weather system that we endured or enjoyed, however it came to you this past week, because from my understanding, there were a couple weather systems that merged and made such a large weather system that affected so many people. Three systems that met, one from the west, one from the south, and one that would have been more in the northeast. And it caused such a widespread damage. $30 to $50 billion worth of damage, a number that we can't fathom. Some places had 2 to 3 foot of snow, and others were flooded drastically. Many households were out of electric, including my own. It's a very nice Friday afternoon to get a text from my wife saying the electric is back on. It's nice. But you know, man is totally out of control in situations like this. Totally out of control. They see this weather system merging, and there's nothing that we can do about it other than warn people to prepare or evacuate and then to begin the job of cleanup and repair. There's nothing. We're helpless in the face of this storm. We're at the mercy of this storm. There's no way to change its course. There's no way to warm the temperatures up so it would rain instead of snow. There's no way to cool the temperatures down so it would snow instead of rain. The only thing we can do is prepare for it. We can make sure we have enough food and water, flashlights and batteries, candles and lamps, and a heat source that doesn't depend on electricity. We can do that, but we can't change the storm. And if there's possible flooding where we live, we can go to a safer place. But there's nothing we can do about the coming storm. Ponder it. What keeps the storm, what keeps those winds from accelerating from 40 mile per hour to 100 mile per hour and totally leveling our houses? What controls that? It's nothing that we do. We hope the mountains break some of the force of it. Who controls that? How many people pondered that this week? Who controls this storm, the perfect storm? As I pondered that, I thought of the storm of all storms that awaits the earth. A storm that food and water won't help. A storm that flashlights, candles, and lamps won't have any effect on. And a storm that no house, root cellar, or basement will protect us from. It's the storm of God's wrath. There is a storm coming to this earth that we must prepare for. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter, a well-known chapter, 2 Peter 3, that teaches us about this coming storm. I'd like to read this passage. It's familiar to us, but I'd like again to have these thoughts wash through our minds and again help us to think God's thoughts about our future. Verse 1 of 2 Peter 3, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Many people are willingly ignorant of this judgment that happened in the past. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by this same word that caused the flood earlier, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This coming storm, the perfect storm. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the day, unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This passage speaks to us of this coming storm, and it warns us and it teaches us how we can prepare for it. This storm, though, is somewhat unlike the storm we had this last week, because this storm is escapable for the Christian. The final judgment of God on the earth will be a storm that we can escape because we are found of God in peace, without spot and blameless, through the finished work of Calvary. Peter here describes this storm, gives us some understanding of it, and he teaches us in verse 10 that this storm will come as a thief in the night. This is something that, if we're not watching, will catch us unawares, without warning and unexpected. You know, there are those that fear the end of the Mayan calendar. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but there's a calendar made up by the Mayans years ago that ends, I believe, at the end of 2012. And there are some people that are concerned about the end of this Mayan calendar for fear that that could be the end of the world. My question is, should we be concerned about the end of the Mayan calendar? No. We should fear that this storm could come today. That's what the Bible teaches us. We need to be ready today. We shouldn't wait until a perceived time in the future. We do not know when, but we do know that we are to be prepared, is what Peter is teaching us here. Secondly, he teaches us that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. This will be a storm of all storms. The earth and its works shall be burned up, a storm like we've never seen. And this world as we know it will be over. It'll be a storm of fire, a judgment of fire. The heavens on fire shall be dissolved, it says in verse 12. If you study the word dissolved, it has the idea of loosening. And if you think about, I don't know how, no one knows how God will bring this judgment to pass. But if you think about the energy that Brother Dwayne talked about in uranium, if the atoms that make up this world would be dissolved, would be loosened, the energy that holds them together would be dissolved, this world would be a total inferno. And it's interesting how it uses this word. The heavens on fire shall be dissolved or loosed, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. This is the coming storm. If God loosens the atoms that make up this world, it will dissolve in a fiery inferno. But we have God's promise that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That is the promise for us as believers. There will be a new place for the righteous to inhabit. This cursed earth will be no more. And as we think about this coming storm, preparing for this coming storm, how can we? How can we prepare for this coming storm? What must we do to be ready? My mind goes to 1 Timothy 5:24. Some men's sins are open before him, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. This is how we can prepare for this storm, is meeting the judgment ahead of time. As we send our sins to judgment beforehand, that judgment is over in our life. As we confess our sins and allow God to judge it and to apply Christ's blood in our lives and allow God to apply Christ's blood for those sins, our sins are judged and we don't need to fear this coming storm. We can then look forward to this day of judgment without hopeless fear because we know that we've already been judged before God, because we have sent our sins on to judgment beforehand. But for those that don't do that, their sins follow after them. When they get to the judgment seat, there will be all these sins that they must give account for. But we can prepare by sending ours on ahead. Verse 14, it says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent." Preparing for this storm, we need to be diligent. In verse 17, it says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, be diligent, beware." And in verse 18, "grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We all must prepare for this storm, because whether we are alive or dead, we will appear at the judgment. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 20, verse 12. Peter was here talking to men that were living and warning them of this coming storm. But in Revelation 20, verse 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So even if we come to our deathbed and this final storm hasn't come upon earth, we will not escape it, because the dead will be brought back up to face the day of judgment. We must prepare for this storm while we are living. We already touched on the thought this morning of should we pray for the dead, and it was shared that we need to pray for the living, because it's only in the time we are living that we can prepare for this coming storm. I'd like to expand a little more on the thought of storms in our life, and the next point I'd like to expound on is that the Scripture warns us that we as Christians may suffer from storms of God's wrath on this earth that we won't be saved from. Even though the great perfect storm at the end of life, we can be at the end of the world, we can escape. There are times that we may suffer from storms of God's wrath that we can't be saved from, but that we have to endure faithfully. And we can through Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation 6. Revelation 6, verse 9. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Why are you waiting? How long will you wait? until you avenge us. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And it goes on to describe God pouring out his wrath on the earth. And the thought that I would like to teach from this is that there were those that still needed to die yet for their faith that were living during this time. They still need to suffer as wrath was being poured out. And that is a fact that we as Christians need to understand, that we may have to suffer effects from God's wrath on unrighteousness. Revelation 7, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they now before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Here we see people that had suffered much. We don't know if this is in chronological order or not, but if it were, this would be after some of this wrath was poured out on the earth. And so they may have suffered under judgment poured out on ungodly persons. But if we come through tribulation like this, we have this promise that the Lamb himself shall feed us and shall lead us unto living waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And so the encouragement I want to share with you this morning, we don't know what is in the future, but we have the promise that if this type of tribulation is in our future, that Jesus will reward us and will comfort us once we are through it. These storms may be direct judgment on sin that we are spared from, but that we may suffer with. Revelation 18. I want to read some verses there to further expand this thought. Revelation 18, verse 4. This is a scene where this city was judged, named Babylon. And in verse 3, it tells you all the some of her wickedness. In verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, this wicked city. You are my people. God is saying, come out from among them. I'm going to pour judgment out. You need to escape this. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And it goes on down and describes how she was judged, and how the merchants, how they mourned over the city that was destroyed. But those that followed God's teaching were saved. Those that came out of the city were not consumed in that destruction. But think about it. They suffered under a tribulation that was still there, even though they were saved from the destruction that came. And I had to think about, you know, if God would warn us that the city of Cumberland was going to be judged, and he would say, come out from her. And so we left work and we came out of the city, and the city was destroyed. We were saved, but guess what? The local economy would be totally destroyed. And so even though we may be spared from some of this direct judgment, we must understand that we may suffer along with some of this. Even though we were called out from that, if judgment was poured out on a place, on a city like that, the local economy would be destroyed and we would suffer along with all the others as well. Those Christians who flee the city survive, but their livelihood would be destroyed, as was Lot's. Think about Lot's situation. He was called out from the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and saved. But guess what? All his wealth, all his houses that he had, his lifestyle were gone. Suffering should not surprise us. Instead, this morning, we should be surprised that we're not suffering. I will not teach that we shall escape this suffering, that we will not escape this tribulation. We all may suffer. We're in an era of great tribulation, but we should not be surprised if our type of tribulation should change to physical suffering. There is a thought that before great tribulation comes, that Christians will be taken out of this world and spared from this suffering. And I believe this belief surfaces when Christians are living under the type of tribulation that we are under today. And that is the tribulation of accommodation and acceptance. When we live under this tribulation that we have, this belief can surface that we won't have to go through great suffering and tribulation. Those who live under the tribulation of suffering know that they will not escape suffering. Only when we're fooled into thinking that this is normal for Christians will we believe that we will escape suffering. Corrie ten Boom, well-known lady that lived through the Holocaust, she wrote in a letter that Christians in China were told, don't worry, this is years ago when communism overtook China, these Christians were told, don't worry, before tribulation comes, you will be translated or raptured. This is what was taught. And along came terrible persecution. Millions of Christians were tortured to their death. And later, she met a bishop from China who bemoaned their teaching. And he said, we have failed them. We should have made the people strong for persecution rather than telling them that Jesus would come first. Tell the people how to be strong in times of persecution, how to stand when the tribulation comes, how to stand and not faint. She went on to say in her letter that more than 60% of the body of Christ across the world are suffering in tribulation. There is no way to escape it. We are most likely next. And this morning, I don't want to be a doomsday preacher, but I do want to prepare us for suffering if it comes our way, because we are fools to think that it may not. We need to know that what we're experiencing is not the normal. It is the exception. Jesus said in John 15:18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. In 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. But I believe this morning we would be marveling if the world began to hate us. And instead, we should be marveling this morning that we don't experience hate crimes for the most part. If we as disciples of Christ walk in his footsteps, we should expect suffering. Just like the storm this past week, we cannot escape it. We can only prepare for it. And I would like to encourage us this morning that we should be willing to suffer with the ungodly so that we can teach them about God. Because suffering in people causes them to search for answers. And we should be willing this morning to suffer along with those so that when they are open for answers, we can be there to teach them about God. The next storm that we may experience is the storms of persecution. And while we may link the two together, storms of God's wrath and storms of persecution, I want to separate them this morning, because persecution may come as an attempt of Satan to wrench us from the love of God. Whereas if this storm system was an outpouring of God's wrath, that's not persecution. That's suffering because of the wickedness in our land, that's not persecution. But persecution could come as Satan would try to destroy our faith in God. It could originate from Satan instead of suffering that would originate from the wrath of God. And I just want to take you to the words of Jesus in Mark 13 when he prepares us for that. Mark 13, verse 9, "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogue ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death." This is what Jesus warned us may come our way. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." I'm afraid that if this would come our way, we would be surprised. We're so used to peace that we will have trouble adjusting to terror. Corrie ten Boom tells another story when she was a little girl. She went to her daddy and she said, "Daddy, I'm afraid that I'll never be strong enough to be a martyr for Jesus Christ." And her father said to her, "Tell me, when you take a trip to Amsterdam, when do I give you the money for the ticket? 3 weeks before?" "No, Daddy, you give me the money for the ticket just before we get on the train." "That is right," her father said. "And so it is with God's strength. Our Father in heaven knows when you will need the strength to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. He will supply all you need just in time." I share that with you because if you're familiar with Corrie's life, you know that she went through intense suffering under the Holocaust. And she survived it. Her sister did not. Her sister died. But as we look on to suffering, that's a fear that can grip our heart. How will I be strong enough to be faithful amongst intense persecution? But the comfort that comes our way is that Jesus will give us the strength we need when we come to that point. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment," 1 John 4:17. And the last storm I'd like to talk about is the storms that we suffer because of a cursed earth. There are storms that there is the perfect storm that will come at the end of the world. There are storms that will come because of God's wrath. And there are storms that come because of persecution. And then there are storms that come because we live in a cursed earth. There are storms that come into our lives because we live in a world that is far different than when it was created. And this suffering is common to all men. It is not something peculiar to us as Christians, but it is still a storm nevertheless. Paul had a storm like that. 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about the storm. Beginning in verse 5, referring to someone earlier that had been caught up into paradise. In verse 5, he says, "Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a storm, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore," Paul says, "will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my storms that come my way, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul's testimony in verse 10 doesn't come overnight. This is not what our natural man would say. But as we face storms in our life, this is a point that we need to come to. We need to be willing to suffer through storms so that God can be glorified. And here Paul is saying that he takes pleasure in them, even though he did ask that it would be taken away from him. God desires to be glorified through the storms that come into our life. It may be a physical affliction. It may be a physical loss. It may be death. It may be some other storm. It may be responsibility that comes our way. Whatever it might be, God desires to be glorified through this. And he wants us to learn that true strength comes from him. And he wants us to be familiar with the power of Christ in our lives. Verse 9, Paul says, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God wants us to be familiar with that in our lives. We need to know that we are not sufficient. We do not have the answers. Our only hope this morning is in God. And so in conclusion, I want to reiterate the 4 points. God wants us to prepare for this perfect storm so that we can be a part of the new heaven and new earth. We can escape this storm by sending our sins on before him. God wants us to prepare for suffering that may come as a result of his wrath being poured out in judgment before the end of time, so that we can be faithful if and when that comes. God wants us to be prepared to suffer from persecution that comes as a desperate attempt of the devil to destroy our faith. And God wants us to take pleasure in the storms of life so he can be glorified and we can know that the power of God is resting on us. Let's kneel for prayer. O God of the storms, we come to you this morning because you're the source of all strength and because you have everything in control. And O God, as we think about the storms of life, the perfect storm at the end of the world, storms of judgment, storms of persecution, there's a heart of fear inside us for these things because we're not used to them. And yet, O God, I pray that you would prepare us through reading your word and through looking at what other Christians have suffered. And that we would be real with the fact that we may not escape this, but we may go through intense storms in our life. O God, I pray that you prepare our hearts for that. And that we would trust in you that when that day comes, that you will give us the strength to be faithful no matter what may come. No, God, may we have an understanding of you so that we can point others to you as the God of the storm, the God that can protect us, the God that can care for us, and if the storm would overwhelm us, the God that can take us to the new heaven and the new earth and allow us to escape the inferno that is prophesied to come. Oh God, we thank you so much for the gift of salvation. We thank you that we can send our sins on beforehand and have our conscience cleansed so that we can look at this day of judgment coming without a panicky fear because we're not ready. But instead, we can have confidence, we can have boldness because of our love for you, and we know your love for us. So this morning, I just pray that you would give us that confidence, give us that rest as we rest in you. Because we don't know the future, but we know that you do. We just pray that you'd be near our friends in Bangladesh and bless their work there. And whatever storms may come their life, oh God, may they share the truth so that there are those there that could escape the perfect storm. God, I pray that it would behoove us to spread this truth. And it would behoove us to live in a way that would point men to that way of escape. But oh God, help us to suffer in the sufferings of life in a way that would give you honor and glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.